Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down, and I just got a word from heaven, and I know, Satan, your kingdom's coming down.
One more time, amen.
Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down.
I rebuke you, Satan. You've got to depart from the grips and the hold that you have on some of these men today. I rebuke you, Satan, and I say that your kingdom is coming down. Thus saith the Lord, I command you, Satan, that you must let them go. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Your kingdom's coming down. Hallelujah. Satan, your kingdom's coming down. I think some of you need to be in the altar right now, and you need to denounce the clutches that Satan has got on your life. He's going to destroy you, and he's going to kill you, and he's going to tear you into pieces. And I'm going to laugh at your day of calamity because you're carnal minded and you hate God and you hate the image of God and you hate the kingdom of God. I say repent of your sins and ask God to set you free this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. I say, God, set me free. Deliver me from the bondages of Satan and the clutches of... Oh, help me, Jesus. Oh, help us, Lord God. Oh, God, I repent in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord God, I ask you to have mercy on me today. Thank you, Lord God. Let's sing it again, amen.
Satan, your kingdom's coming down.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down.
Denounce him.
Satan,
put your foot on his head.
Coming down.
Bruise the head of that old serpent this morning.
I just got a word.
Thank you, Lord.
From heaven, and I know, Satan, your kingdom.
Let's sing it again. Amen. Down. Hallelujah.
Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, Satan,
your kingdom's coming down.
I just got word.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Satan, your kingdom's coming down.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down.
I rebuke you,
Satan.
I say you're a liar and you're the father of all lies. I rebuke you, Satan. I say you cannot have a one. These are the children of God. Oh, Lord, we profess you this morning as to be our Lord and our God and our King. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord God. Somebody needs to praise him this morning. There's victory in the praise. There's victory in worship this morning. You can worship your Lord and you can worship your God. And he can fill you with his spirit and fill you with his power and anoint you and equip you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let him set you free this morning.
Hallelujah.
I don't want to be religious. I don't want to be a churchgoer. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to be filled with the power of God. I want to be raptured away in the ecstasy and the freedom and the peace of the heavens. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord God. Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God.
Your kingdom's coming down.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down.
Thank you, Lord God.
I just got
praise you, Lord God.
From heaven.
And I know,
Satan, your kingdom's coming down.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Let's worship him, saints. Come on. Let's worship the Lord until that devil's ran out of every life and every soul and every heart in this church. Let's worship God until he comes down and meets us and fills us with his spirit. Amen. Fills us with expectation and fills us with his praise. Amen.
Thank you, Lord God.
Amen.
Oh, come into my heart.
Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus.
My heart. Lord Jesus.
Oh, Lord, fill our hearts this morning. Come into our heart, oh God. Fill us with expectation, Lord God. Fill us with your love this morning, Lord God. Oh, God, set us free this morning, Lord God. Oh, let us feel that rapturing ecstasy, Lord God, of being caught up into your presence, Lord God. Don't let it be will worship, Lord. Don't let it be just some kind of a past tense thing, Lord God. Oh, Lord, let us feel the rapturing power of your Spirit today, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Praise you, Lord God.
Come
praise you, Lord God. Oh, Malia Sataria Trasio Tora Makila Masi. Eria Sati Andres Etere Makoya Si. Praise you, Lord God. We worship you, Lord. Oh, God, let there be one caught into your presence this morning, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus.
To my heart. Oh, come into my heart.
Renew a vow to him this morning. Ask him to set you free from your carnal mind. Set you free from your religious understanding and be freed, hallelujah. That you can have the liberty to praise and to worship and honor him this day. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, I don't want to be bound in religious darkness. Oh, Lord God, I don't want to be caught away in my own thoughts. Oh, Lord God, my own thoughts of being something when I'm nothing. Help me, Jesus. Oh, help us, Jesus. Help us, Lord God. Help us, Lord Jesus. We're crying out to you today, Lord God. Fill us with the Holy Ghost. Fill us with your Spirit, Almighty God. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody say, I love you, Lord God. Somebody praise him this morning. Hallelujah. He's worthy of all praise. Worthy of all honor. Hallelujah. Magnify his name. Exalt his name. Lift him up far above all. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord God. And praise you, Almighty God. Hallelujah. Oh, let our hearts be full this morning, Lord God. Fill us up and overflow us with your Spirit, Lord God. Oh, we praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God.
Lord,
thank you, Jesus.
I need thee.
Oh, yasatrasiati lemokos.
Every hour I need thee.
Thank you, Jesus.
I need thee now, precious Savior. Oh, how I need thee. I need thee, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
I need thee.
Oh, Lord, I need you this morning. Oh, Lord, I need your help. I need your anointing. I need your word. I need your Spirit. I need your strength, oh God. Oh, Lord, fill me, Lord God. Fill me, Lord God, with your Spirit. Fill me with your power. Fill me with your praise, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let him catch you away this morning.
I want thee, Lord. I want thee.
Oh, Lord, I desire you, Lord God. And you alone, Lord God. I don't want to yield my members to Satan no longer, God. I want to yield to you and you alone, Lord God. Take my vessel, Lord God. It ain't much to offer you this morning, Lord. But I say take this vessel and use it for your glory, for your praise, for your will, for your ministry, Lord God. Oh, Father, I give it all. I surrender it all to you this morning, Lord Jesus. Help me, Jesus.
Well, I need thee, Lord. I need thee. Every hour I need thee.
Make sure you make a contact this morning. Make sure you get your hand in that nail-scarred hand this morning. Oh, I need thee, Lord God. I need you, Lord. Oh, I need you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Can you just let him know your need this morning? When you don't think you have no need, he can't help you. Can you stand before him humbly and say, God, I need thee this morning. Oh, Lord, I need you. Oh, Lord, I want you. You are my desire, my heart's desire, Lord God. I want you, Lord God. I need you, Lord God. Fill me, Lord God, with your spirit. Fill me with your power, Lord God. Catch me away to your throne this morning, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, saints. Somebody needs to cry out to my God. Somebody needs to make a contact with him this morning. Oh, Lord God, help us, Jesus. Help us, Lord God. Oh, Lord, let your spirit fill their hearts. Fill them with expectation, oh, God. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, we praise you, Lord.
Every hour I need
Oh, I love you, Jesus. Oh, I praise you, Lord God. Oh, I can feel your power, your anointing, your word, your strength, Lord God. Oh, Father, fill hearts this morning, Lord. That's my prayer, Lord God, that you set captives free. Fill them, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, let there be an expected heart somewhere in the house, Lord, that wants to be filled up, Lord, overflowing, to be filled up with your power, Lord God. Oh, break the bonds, break the chains, oh, God. Oh, Lord God, you said in your word that the anointing breaks every bondage and every yoke and every chain. Oh, God, help us. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's worship him, saints. Let's worship him, saints. Let's worship him, saints. Have you asked him how to worship him? Have you said, oh God, teach me to worship you, Lord God? I know that the sons of God worship you in spirit and truth. Have you really worshiped him? Amen. He's worthy. Amen. When you find yourself in the presence of God, he'll bow you down in his presence. Amen. And you'll feel so small and so weak. When you feel big and mighty and powerful and religious, you've never seen his face. You'll fall down and melt before him and say, oh God, I need you, Lord God. Oh God, every hour I need you, Lord God. Oh, Father, lead me and direct me and guide me. Oh, the closer you draw, the farther you seem. The stronger you get, the weaker you feel when you get in his presence and start drawing from the wellsprings of life. Amen. Let's worship him. Let's worship him. Ask him. Don't be afraid now. Oh, God, teach me how to worship. Teach me, Lord God, how to show you that I love you and I worship you, Lord God. Help me overcome my carnality. Help me overcome my self-will. Help me overcome my life. Oh, God, I want to lay it down at your feet this morning as a living sacrifice. Oh, God, let me lay this old man down and I can resurrect as a new man, a new creature in Christ, filled with hope and expectation and glory and praise. Hallelujah. Somebody worship God this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody praise his name. Hallelujah. He's worthy of all praise. Worthy of all honor. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You ain't never going to get set free, my friend, because you can't worship him. Oh, he's worthy. He's worthy. Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah. Worthy of all honor. Worthy of all praise. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Jesus.
Jesus.
Oh, I love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
What a wonder you are.
We love you, Jesus. Oh, help us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
So pure and so kind.
Lift up your hands and praise him this morning. Lift him up. Come on, stick him up there and reach for him this morning. And say, oh God, I love you, Lord. Let me just touch the hem of that garment. And just a little higher, hallelujah. Just a little bit higher. And you can get a hold of the hem, hallelujah. And he'll anoint you. And he'll fill you with praise and expectation. Amen. And you'll feel the weights and the bondages drop off of you. And you'll feel the liberty to worship him. And you'll say, I love you, Lord. I praise your holy name, Lord God. You're my Lord and my God. Hallelujah. 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 He wants more than your knowledge. He wants more than your wisdom. He wants more. He wants you to worship him in spirit and in truth. He wants you to be able to praise his name. Hallelujah. He wants you to be able to exalt his name and lift him up far above all names. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Come on, saints. Some of you need a breakthrough this morning and you're holding back. You don't know how to worship him. You don't know how to praise him. Hallelujah. He's the object of worship. He's worthy of praise and glory and honor. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody say hallelujah. 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 Praise your name. Hallelujah. I can hear the rushing mighty wind this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord God. Praise your holy name. Hallelujah. Somebody just got free. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. That's all I asked for was one, God. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Fill us with the Holy Ghost. Fill us with the power. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Somebody praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, let's worship him, saints. Hallelujah. Can we get another set free? Can we find another set free today, Lord God? Oh, rapture us, Almighty God. Catch us up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Oh, Father, can we have another, Lord God? Can we see another set free, God, this morning, Lord God? Oh, mighty God, please, Lord God. Oh, we petition you for that soul. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you're on an instrument this morning and you feel like you need to be in the altars, that would be wonderful. Amen. I don't want you all to go one time. But if you need to be in them altars, amen. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I don't want to leave church religious. I don't want to leave church bound in my own religious thoughts and my own religious expectations. And if I leave this service today, I want to know that I've been touched. Amen. I want to know that I've been set free. Hallelujah. That I've been liberated. You say, oh, I was set free a long time ago. Then what do you got the chains of bondage on you for? If you've been set free, the chains and shackles will fall off. And you'll have the freedom and the worthy to worship and to honor and to praise him this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's worship him, saints. Come on. Let's sing another song. Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Let's worship him, saints. Come on. Hallelujah. How can something go cold so fast? Come on, saints. You need to praise him. Oh, Lord, fill us with your spirit. Fill us with your expectations. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Let's sing that song, Jesus. Or was it Jesus?
Jesus.
Let's hear that name this morning. Oh, I love that name. There's no other name, saints of God. No other name. Amen. about that name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Is he your master this morning? Have you allowed him to be the master of your life this morning? Have you submitted to him to follow him as your master this morning? Hallelujah.
After the rain.
Let's worship him, saints. If we could just make that contact. If one, two, or three of us could just come together in his name and make a contact, he'll be here and fill you with his spirit. Hallelujah. That same Holy Ghost that lived and dwelled and reigned in the early church, amen. In the apostles, amen. That gave them the authority and the power to walk on the scorpions and the serpents, amen. To overcome carnality and the carnal mind of human reason, of self-expectation and self-exaltation. It'll fall down and it'll be him and him alone that's praised and honored and exalted. Hallelujah. Can you find that weakness this morning for you can draw on his strength? You can't find his strength because you're so strong in your own conceit, and you're so strong in your own wisdom, and so strong in your own catching up in your own intellectual mind. But if you could denounce it this morning and say, Lord God, I lay it down. I put it under my feet in the name of Jesus. And I stand before you in the weakness of a man. And I'm asking you to take me and strengthen me and anoint me and fill me with your spirit this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus, we praise your name. Thank you, Lord God.
Jesus. Jesus.
Oh, I want to be led by your Spirit, Lord. I want to be led by the Holy Ghost, Lord God. Hallelujah. I want to be numbered with the sons of God this morning, Lord.
Kings and kingdoms, they will all pass away. But there's something about that name.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus. Oh, there's something about that name.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Master, Savior, Jesus, like a fragrance after the rain. Oh, Jesus, Jesus.
Can we worship him? Let him have his way in your life. Oh, he may have brought liberty and freedom to this brother, this sister, but don't leave this morning lacking. Oh, don't be one that was weighed in the balance this morning and found lacking. Ask him, say, Lord, I want a touch from heaven. Oh, Lord God, I want to feel the quickening of thy spirit down in my heart, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, I want to feel the peace and the joy of salvation this morning, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. There's some here that are so bound up in the confession of carnality of their own mind, so caught up in the confession of the doctors, and they're so bound up by believing every report and every lie the doctor gives. Amen. You need set free this morning. You need to be delivered. Amen. Some of you are filled with anxiety and animosities and jealousies and bitterness and hate. You're so bound with the devil. You couldn't hear the voice of God if he was speaking to you, because the devil's put stoppers in your ears. And you should be lifted up towards heaven right now and saying, oh God, set me free. Open my ears. Open my eyes. Deliver me, Lord God, from the bondage of myself this morning.
Has happened, and now I know he touched me, and he made
Hallelujah. Me. You can all go back to your seats this morning. I'm going to go into some word this morning if the Lord allows me to. Amen. I thank you for coming into the altars this morning. Hallelujah. I just almost closed the service and said, okay, God, you've done all you're going to do here this morning. Amen. And I believe he done some things this morning. I really do. I believe he done some things this morning. Not to the magnitude I'd have liked to see, and I'm not putting that on him. He done everything that he could do at Calvary. He done everything that was possible for him to do when he put every drop of his blood out at Calvary. He done all he's ever going to do for you at Calvary. And now it's your part to receive it, to believe it, and to walk therein. I love y'all this morning. I appreciate you. Amen. Thank you for making an attempt to praise and worship your God this morning. Thank you for making that attempt to make a contact with him this morning. And you say, brother, it's already 11 o'clock. Who's on time facet of God? Amen. If it takes till 11 o'clock tonight to get a soul set free and delivered, you should have that kind of a desire in your heart. Say, you know, Lord, I'm here for the duration until I see somebody delivered and see somebody set free and somebody saved, somebody filled, somebody find the Spirit of God. Sometimes we can come to church so disconnected that we're not drawn at all. We come so disconnected and we look and sit there with some kind of a, well, look at that brother. He don't know how to worship the Lord. Look at that guy. He thinks he's something. Oh, look at that. That's carnal. Look at that. And you know what, man? God will burn your fields. Amen. Because it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Amen. And the thing is if there's a man that's going to hell in this church and lost in this church, I take the responsibility. That's what God wants. He don't want us to look at this brother and say, oh man, he's evil. Oh, he's serpent seed. Oh, if he could just be like me, he'd be all right. No, he don't want us to do that. We take responsibility and say, God, man, what have I done wrong, Lord God? Have I not cried out, Lord God? Have I not been the example before him, Lord God? Oh, God, I have failed you, Lord God. I want to be that minister, Lord God, that could reach him for you, Lord God. And I find lack in my own heart, my own life, Lord God. Oh, Father, I want the anointing of the Holy Ghost in my spirit, Lord God, that I could speak your word. And it's as sharp as a two-edged sword, dividing the soul and the spirit, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, that's what I want to be this morning, Lord God. Can you learn to talk to your God and quit talking to him like you're something and talk to him like you need everything? Amen. And he can meet that need for you. He'll meet you, brother. Oh, you got to find that spirit. Amen. There's a key to being filled with the Holy Ghost. It's a key. You got to have need. When you don't have need, he can't help you. When you don't present a need to him, he can't help you. You got to present a need. I don't care how much accomplishment you've done. I don't care how wonderful you can sing. I don't care how anointed that you think you are. You are in need. You're in need. It's your very best righteousness is your filthy rags. You're in need. We got to know that we're in need of a God. And we're in need. And there's got to something we've got to commit our thoughts unto him. And the only way we could do that is by establishing works for him. Amen. We got to have some works in our spirit. We got to be making ourselves available. You say, oh, you want us to come out and mow the yard. Hey, that'd be a good place to start. Amen. That would be a wonderful place to start and say, Lord God, I'm seeking after you and your face. Every blade of grass that I cut, Lord, I'm doing it in your name and for your glory, Lord God. I want to be an example, Lord God, to show people that I'm concerned about the things of God. Amen. It doesn't matter what you do. Amen. But do it with all your heart. And do it as unto the Lord. Not seeking admiration for yourself. Not seeking, but seeking it for him. Amen. Say, man, this is my master's house. Amen. This is his place. And I'm here to serve him. I'm here to honor him. I'm here to worship him. I'm here to praise him. I'm here to give my life as a living sacrifice unto him. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I feel like I've been to church this morning. Amen. Y'all love the Lord? Hallelujah. Isaiah 58. Let's read there just a little bit this morning. Amen. I want to get out of the way. Oh, Lord, I don't want to be in your way. Appreciate Brother Lambert. Appreciate all the musicians. But I told Brother John, I said, I want you to come up. Let's worship God. I said, we got to get some worship in the house of God. That wasn't discrediting anybody else. I'm just saying that's what I want right now. I said, we got to get some worship going. He's a God of worship. Don't forget that, saints. To you, he's just some God that's up there just sitting there feeling sorry for you. Oh, you poor little weak thing. I'm going to bless you. And you slobber and you cry and you tell me every day how no good you are and this and that. Oh, I'm here. No, he's gonna kick you so hard into the pits of hell and so far back in there we can't hear your teeth gnashing on others and hear your moans because you're so far back in there that you'll be grounded out in just all the flames and all the torment and agony that's there and all the moaning and the screaming. Amen. That's not how we approach God. You say, well, I just heard you say, preacher, then that you cry out in need. Oh, sure I do. I cry out every day as one in need, but somewhere I got to break through and worship him and praise him and honor him and thank him. Amen. Because he's given me everything that pertaineth unto life. He's given me that heritage this morning. Amen. As a son of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's good to have Brother Paul Stone. I thought I was going to have to send the visitation committee out with a ball bat. Amen. You glad you come to church this morning? Break that old nasty thing off of you this morning up here? Okay, good. Mine went too. Anybody else get an old nasty thing delivered? That old carnal mind is nasty. It's a nasty, perverted thing. Amen. And you say, what do you mean, brother? When your thoughts are on yourself, when your thoughts are on your life, when your thoughts are on your family, that's nasty. It's filthy. It's perverted. I want my thoughts to be on him. I want to be everything about him and him alone. Amen. And if I could seek his will, he'll fulfill mine. His will in me. Amen. That's the only will I want to see done. Amen. If I'm hungry and I find his mind and his will, I'm going to give every food I got to somebody. Amen. And I'll never lack ever. Amen. That's the secret you got to give. Amen. If you're not giving a sacrifice of praise, you ain't receiving admiration and infilling of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Man, it feels good. Amen. Brother Pete, come up here a minute. I want you to read this first seven verses right here in Isaiah for me. Give my throat a chance to rest here a second. If the anointing hits you and you want to preach, I'll just sit down over here and say amen.
Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people of their transgressions,
thank you, Jesus.
And the house of Jacob their sins.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinances of their God. They ask me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have ye fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge. Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. And ye not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will that call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out of the house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, brother. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. I could hear the voice of my pastor, Brother Pike, in reading of these scriptures right here. And he said, the men are selfish. So I'm questioning. He said, well, I've done this as unto the Lord. And he's saying that the things we do are selfish. Can you see that in those first seven verses right there? How he's saying, you know, hey, you've done this, you know, and he was offering reproof. Some of you might do good to fast with the wrong motives. At least you're making an effort. But then yet, on the other hand, we want to be able to fast with the proper motive. But if we could be honest with ourselves, how many times have we done exploits to God and feel like it wasn't recognized? Maybe we were looking for recognition in the wrong place. I had two men leave this church because they didn't feel like they were being recognized. And you know what? I purposely did not recognize them because the Lord told me I couldn't. Because if you read right here, it said that is their reward. If you do something for your own admiration or your own recognition, then that is your reward. Do you want rewarded? There was a man that I could call his name, but if he gave an offering, he couldn't go and give it at the church where it was supposed to be put at, or at the bank over there. He wouldn't go. You know, the brethren just go give it, but he had to go up and knock on the pastor's door. Here's my tithe. He wouldn't, you know, Brother George wouldn't take it anyway, but he'd always want to make sure he gave his sister Bay. He wanted that recognition right then. He wanted the recognition. You know, if you put your name on a tithing envelope and put it in a thing, that's good. It's not wrong to do that, because we're always looking for any kind of help of expectation we can. And I know God helps us, but still, it keeps some things in proper and in order. So I'm not saying that to that account. That's not looking for recognition. It's a proper order. But brethren, if you could read those first 7 verses right there, you should be able to make a contact with the spirit of that. You know, a lot of times I find myself trying to find the spirit of things. So you could look at it and you could get an analyzation of something, but you didn't get the spirit of it. So you got your carnal concepts of why this is happening. You can have somebody in your face yelling at you and you think, ah, this guy's just ignorant, he's rude, he's crude. But if you could get into the spirit of it and discern, you could find out where this animosity came from. You see, sometimes people could come into your presence in the altars, they say, brother, I need prayer for thus, thus, and thus. And the word of knowledge comes. While they're speaking to you and you're hearing their audible voice in your ears and they're explaining this to you, but all of a sudden the word of knowledge comes. You see, I could have 2 of you in the altars. I don't know why it works this way. I'm just explaining it to you. But if Brother Randy was standing here and his son-in-law, Brother Manny, were standing here and they're both talking to me, man, I'm going to have troubles with this. I'm just not good at calculating both conversations and I couldn't do both of them justice. But I could have you standing here and you could be speaking to me and all of a sudden a word of knowledge is coming in my spirit. It's not like, oh, wait a minute. Lord, don't interrupt this guy. He's trying. It don't work that way. It's just all of a sudden, it's just the full understanding of his spirit. The knowledge has been imparted into me. And there's another conscience going on and they're saying, no, this is the real problem. This is what the real problem is right here. And then when I pray sometimes, I could pray to the real, genuine problem, what it is, because that problem's got to get removed. You see, it would just, let me give you an example of what I just said. You can come into my altar, it had to happen oftentimes, and I lay hands on you and say, whoa, this guy's burning up. Many times. Man, I could rebuke that fever immediately. I've seen it happen numerous times, and the fever go. But see, I didn't really get the problem. The fever wasn't the problem. The fever was the result to the problem. There's something down inside that man's members or that woman's members of an infection or something that is, and it's making that body react. And see, sometimes an explosive temper. Sometimes the bitterness, you know, or the hate or the expression and the no trust. All those issues that are there, there's something down in there. See, I could say I got no trust because Randy done me wrong or Manny done me wrong or whoever. You know, these brethren didn't do me wrong, but I'm just saying that I could, you know, I could feel a sense of justified anger. I could feel a sense of, you know, I'm justified. We're not justified. You know, Jesus being nailed to the cross said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. That's the spirit I want. That's the spirit you need. That's the spirit we need as a brotherhood. We need to say, you know what? You know, praise God, they don't know what they do. You know, there's people that are dead today that went off the scene as young people because they knew not what they were doing. They did not know what they were doing. When you was at Bethlehem, you heard the stories over and over. They usually wasn't by Brother Pike. Occasionally would when he's dealing with the spirit in his congregation. And they were warned with him. Finally he goes, you know, you don't realize what you're doing. You know, I could share a story where a man sat right up here and he was killed within 2 or 3 days sitting there worn with the spirit, worn with the pastor, finding fault. I could tell you of this one and this one and this one. There was numerous. They just pow. You know, and there's some people that's been involved in this work right here and they're just being lighthearted, lightly esteeming this work, really. And I mean, they think they got the liberty just to leave it and walk away and there's going to be no... You know, they may not see no judgment on this side. If there's no judgment or chastening of the Lord that comes to you from departing the work and the move of God, then you're a bastard child. You're not of the Father. But if you are, you're going to bring some judgment and some wrath. You know, and the Lord deals with me about things. I try to speak and as slowly as possible. Sometimes he tells me to conceal the matter. But there's things that happen, brethren. And there's consequences and things that happen in lives because they're not paying attention to the Lord. It says, wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Why would we have something in our spirit and even question God like that? When he said that he'll give us, you know, the heritage of Jacob, man, he'll give us, man, he'll bless us. And his desire is to fill us, to bless us, to anoint us, to give us everything that pertaineth to life. That's his will and his desire. So where could I blame him? Where could I blame God? Where could I stand before him and say, but Lord God, man, I went done this, and Lord God, I done that. See, there's somewhere, there's a false motive in your heart. You've done it for the wrong pretense, for the wrong thing. I told you that I could stay home and be on my knees all day long in my room with the door shut and fasting and praying and weeping before God and think, oh God, man, I'm your man. Boy, I've done this today. Boy, Lord God, I know that you're going to recognize this time. But my motive was wrong when he had something else for me to do. He had another will for me that day, another desire for me to do that day. Brethren, I shared this with you. I spent the first many years of what ministry was. I was in search, yes. I was longing and looking. I was looking for a pastor. And man, I was searching state after state and going to place after place. I exhausted out the television evangelists. I went to their meetings and stuff. And I thought, man, this ain't even real. Man, I couldn't find God there. I've been in closed door ministers meetings with 300-400 ministers only. From big churches, television, that had television things in their churches. You know, and I met these guys thinking, man, I'm gonna really find something here, and I didn't find it. I've shared this with you. I've left meeting after meeting. I drove some of these meetings I went to. I drove 1,200 miles to go to a meeting, 1,600 miles to be exact. And they asked to raise your hand how far you come, and I go, wow, this guy came from California. He's over here in Tulsa. You know, well, whoopee, man, I come a long ways, but I was looking for something, and I left disappointed. I left with minister friends. We'd walk out the doors of these big meetings and stuff, and there, man, they're dancing. Man, God, I was so good. They're just radiated with this exuberance and all this stuff. And they're, you know, thinking, God, what's wrong with me? But you see, brethren, this morning you could have think I just wanted to get in some charismatic way and worship the Lord. And I wanted someone to make a touch. You know, and it could make you have some charisma, yes. I mean, it could set you free, man. You know, and that's okay. But then yet that happens to be a counterfeit also that's in the Pentecostal churches. I've said that over and over and over. One guy could be shouting and another one knows what he's shouting about. Amen. I heard a preacher say one time, he goes, man, one dog starts barking in the neighborhood and then all the dogs start barking. You know, when you live in a neighborhood. And he said, you know, there's only one dog knew what he's barking about. The rest were just barking. And that's really, I'm telling you the truth, man, one person get up here and get set free in the Holy Ghost, man, and shouting and praising God and singing and dancing, and somebody over there doing the same thing, and this guy's got freedom, this guy can't just wanting to look like he's got it. Yeah. Amen, but I'll tell you something, when the anointing of God breaks that yoke, and I mean when you feel the chains fall off, you already feel like you're raptured, because the freedom of the weight. See, sometimes you don't know how much weight you got on you, but boy, when it drops off, it's like, wow, amen. I lost 40 pounds one time, and I was back in very back of the store at Lowe's, I think, or something. And I'm back there, and I said, oh, man, I got to get this. I think it was a 40. Most stuff comes in 50-pound bags, and it may have been a 50-pound bag. But I said, oh, it ain't that far to the counter. Whew, threw that sucker up on my shoulder. And I get a drop it on the counter. They think, hey, we got carts. Yeah, I'm going to get one next time. And I'm thinking, my God, I was carrying that kind of weight on me. Not too many weeks back, and carrying that thing around all the time, you know, and I didn't think nothing of it. But, you know, I'm telling you, sometimes we just don't really recognize the weight and the burden. We carried it so long. But, boy, when it gets released and it's let go, and all of a sudden then you'll know what rapture feels like. Whoa. You know, we used to own some fire bombers, and we'd have them things loaded down with borate. And we would, after we get them and test fly them and get them ready to go out on the fire contracts. I never dropped on a real fire before. But you had that airplane loaded, man, down to the gross weight, maxed out. Take off, takes a lot of power to make this thing fly, man, when you've got several hundred or thousand pounds, thousands of pounds of this fire retardant on it. And they could open up 8 different doors, one at a time if you want to drop just little bits at a time. Or you could do what they called a salvo, all 8 doors. That's what happens sometimes when the Holy Ghost gets you. Man, that whole load one time, that airplane just goes, and I mean, it jumps. I mean, it's all sudden, man, it just lost several, and it just does a big, it's a thrust, man, and a thrust, but it just does this big leap, man. And that's what we need sometimes. We need to salvo the load, amen, of darkness, and we need to salvo the carnality, and we need to salvo the self-will, and salvo the conscience of man, and just drop that stuff off, amen. And I say, well, I feel good. Man, I feel like I've been raptured, amen. Praise God, amen. Behold, you fast for strife and debate and smite with fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day, but to make your voice be heard on high. You see, how many wants God to hear them? Sometimes we, hey, God! That doesn't work. That'll be on the ground. The vibration will be dropped, fade into the carpet. You say, well, so the Bible does say raise up your voice like a trumpet. Yeah, sometimes we need to raise up our voice. Amen. Sometimes we need to do that. And you know, if that's what you feel you need to do. I was talking with an inmate the other day in prison. He said, Brother Rob, this tormenting spirit just keeps coming. He said, I've wore my voice out. I've slobbered all over my face, rebuking it and screaming at it and stuff. And I said, he'll never leave that way. I said, it ain't going to leave that way. You see, because what it is it's exactly a tormenting spirit. This man, this tormenting spirit coming, he gets a lot of zeal, a lot of zip, a lot of animosities against it, a lot of hate against it, and he starts rebuking it and yelling at it, and the thing's sitting there laughing at it. Boy, look at him, I messed his day up. And the devil just sits back and crosses his leg and goes, well, look at this. And you say, well, Brother Rob, I don't understand that. You know, we need to rebuke the devil. We need the spirit to rebuke the devil. You see, it's the anointing that makes the devil flee, not how loud you yell. The anointing will raise up your voice, yes, but it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Remember the other day I shared with you about some preacher, man, he's going to plant a seed there, boy, and he's a shoveling dirt flying everywhere. Woohoo! We're planting a tree. Yeah! And man, dirt flying everywhere, and he throws it in the ground and dances on it, this and that. And another guy comes up, drops a stick in, wiggles it, drops the seed in, steps on it, and goes on. We got the same result. But see, we prepare ourselves and gear ourselves. This is what the anointing acts like. This is how it walks. This is how it moves. Amen. We had a man come to church there at Bethlehem. He was a minister, a message minister. And he had studied Brother William Branham so much. Watched so many videos of him. He got up there and his people, he had trained them, and they were doing the same thing. He walked like Brother Branham. He spoke like him. Then he acted like the anointing hit him where he couldn't stand up. His brethren come up and are holding him up and stuff. And it was just a drama. It was no different than a skit. Just because the Lord moved in Brother William Branham that way doesn't mean he's going to move in you. He said, but it was like Moses. He had to get them to hold their hands up. I said, I understand that. When the anointing of God could take you and empower you, you could feel so weak. You could just feel so broken that you can't even hardly stand up. Sometimes you can get drunk. And I mean where you're wobbling around like a drunk man. And you're trying to keep your balance and keep your strength. Yes, that God could still move, and he still moves that way. And he does that. But I can't mimic it the way Brother Branham did it to bring an anointing. But see, some people can't tell the difference. Can't tell the difference whatsoever at all. And you know, the Brother Lackey used this term. I haven't been out there in the churches and stuff, but they called it a courtesy fall. The preacher comes up and lays hands, so you're just going to be courtesy to him. Man, I've been to him. I've had him put hands on me and just keep pushing me and say, you're going to go down one way or another. And I said, yeah, and I'm going to grab your stinking beard and you're going to come with me. I've had him push me. I've been in churches where they put a guy on the floor behind him and push him over. I've watched this stuff. I'm aware of those things. I know how it works. But a lot of people now, they just call it a courtesy yield. Just go ahead and yield to it, fall over. You know? And you know what the thing is that group hypnosis is something that Benny Hinn studied, how to group hypnotize people. He studied it. He admitted to this. And it works. He said, I don't believe in that stuff. Happens in many churches. People get involved in it and they don't even know it. And you say, what do you mean by group hypnosis? People just submit. I was in high school, and they took us into the gym, and they had a man come in there. And this man was a hypnosis. You know, he picked a John Luffman, You know, one of the pretty boys at school. Look at him. He was, wasn't he? Mama, was he a pretty boy? Son, when he got out of the car going to school, man, did he have a little bit of a... Yes, he did. Hey, girls. Hey, ran a touchdown last night. Yes. Whoa. I love you, Brother John. Yeah, I know the spirit, man. But this hypnosis guy got the John Luffman up there. Man, he was, you know, the jock of all jocks. Do they call him jock still? Is that what they call football players, jock? Does that work? Okay, thank you. You know, I'm going back a few years when I was in school. I guess about 42 years ago. That's a long time, ain't it? Shut up, Jeff. Little punk has to... The only one in here is a little greenhorn wet behind the ears, little sucker. Yeah, that's a long time ago, you know. And I got off you, John. I got him now, eh? Thank you. We got the greenhorn and the jock now. We're going to come to him in a minute. No, but this guy got this guy up here and he hypnotized this kid. And either he was once submissive rascal or he really hypnotized him, because I would not have done what this guy done. I mean, to tell you, the whole school was laughing at this guy, but he had him some way become a cheerleader. You ever seen a jock walk like a woman? It's not funny. I mean, it is very funny. It would have been funny if I was the guy hypnotized. But what I'm saying, he took this whole group of kids. He had about 8 to 10 kids up here on this platform, and he hypnotizes them all. And then he tells one to do silly stuff, ignorant stuff. And I mean, either they willfully submitted to it or what, I don't know. But I'll tell you what, you get me swinging like a woman and acting like a woman and dancing like a woman in front of a whole school, I think I'd been hypnotized. So, you know, if I'm talking about this in a secular, carnal realm of school, and then could this something take place in a church? I preached on these counterfeits and different things, ministered a message the other day that we all have a way of grabbing onto something to feel like we're part of something. You know, and we want to be part. Most of your hearts want to be part. They have a desire to please God. But sometimes we can grab onto something and thinking this is what His desire is for us or what His will is for us. That brother Tony came here and he said he went over to, I guess it was a UPC church. And he said that he went there for 3 months. I don't think I would have made 3 services. But he said that every service was the same. They got up and started worshiping and singing and shouting and praising God. And he said at first the pastor's wife get on the piano and start playing, and she'd start singing and speaking in tongues and stuff. And then, you know, Sister, you know, Wonder Lips, man, would come up next. And you know, just all of them. I got names for all of them. I won't go there. But they all come up on the thing, and then they all start dancing and talking in tongues and shouting. And all the church gets up, and everybody's shouting and praising God and running around the church and dancing and stuff. And then they go home. I almost dismissed the service this morning. You know, and I said, okay, Lord, are you finished? You know, did you do what you wanted to do? And there was, he did. He did have his way this morning. And I trust he still is. But they would feel like this is what they're comfortable with. Man, we got in the spirit. Man, we shouted. We spoke in tongues. We danced. Let's go home. And he said he went there for 3 months. And he said the same service went everything. And he said he never heard the pastor preach. I can promise you one thing. You say, well, you're saying it because you're a pastor and you want to preach. No. It's not a matter of desiring to preach, but it's a desire to feed. You see, if somebody has a hunger, they need to be fed. If you come to my home, I'll feed you, even if you're hungry or not. You come to church, you ain't got no hunger for the things, I'm going to feed you anyway. Brother, you're going to eat this right here. Praise God, and it's going to help you. Amen. It's going to help you if you want it or not. You're going to get this. And maybe I'm missing the Lord. I don't know. I hope not. But brethren, the thing is that we can have some kind of a mindset talking to each and every one of us, and we can all have a little bit one of defers. I told you that most works have a mindset of accomplishment, to feel like you're a part of this move or part of this work. Most of them have some kind of a mindset. I made a statement about the message churches. You're accomplished by the more quotes that you know about Brother William Branham. The more things you can say about him, the more things you can quote about him, the more you can identify the dates and the meetings and the locations and stuff, you're accepted. Because you've studied this man out. And some of them believe and some of them teach that God has not spoke to a man of God since Brother William Branham went off the scene. One of the leading leaders of the Branhamite, he said that. He said, God has not spoke to a man since Brother William Branham. He said, if a preacher has anything to say today, it's a repeat of what William Branham said. That's about as shallow. Give me some adjectives that I could keep it nice. Ignorant. Yeah, ignorant works well. Stupid, thank you. That one works pretty good too. But again, brethren, we read these scriptures, and it's a prophet of God speaking to a people thousands of years ago, and he ain't speaking to me. He's not speaking to you. But come on, brethren, think about it. The things and the activities and the things that we do, we have to have them. And we could be doing these things, and then we don't feel like we've made a contact to God. God, why didn't you recognize my offering? God, why didn't you recognize this? When he says that he'll add back to us, if we give up homes and houses, he'll add back to us. Automobiles or whatever, he adds back to us. Whatever we give, we shall not lack. Won't. So then we say, but Lord, why aren't you recognizing? Oh, believe me, he is. But sometimes it could be something in the way. He's expressing here, there's something in the way. And that's what we've got to make sure that we don't have it in our life. Behold, you fast for strife and debate and smite with the fist for wickedness. Sometimes, you know, I've said that, you know, man is a beast. If you could realize that your nature of your first birth is a beast, it's no different than the dog out there in the field. The Jews would call us dogs, Gentiles. They looked at us as dogs, you know, that we weren't part of the election of God. But man is no different, brethren, in his first birth. He wants to be superior. You ever see two male dogs that meet that one's looking for superiority every time? That's the way man is. You know, they push their chest out and this and that. I tell the brethren I'm talking with in prison, I said, man, most of that's the front. Look beyond the veil of that masculinity. Most of them are trying to protect themselves. You heard the expression of a chihuahua with a tiger growl or a lion growl or whatever. You know, and a lot of times there's a lot of bark in people. But when you really look back beyond the bark, you see a little innocent thing back in there really crying out for help. And that's just the front. And see, we could come to church the same way, boy. We could walk in, you know, hey, praise God, man, hallelujah, I fasted yesterday. Whew, man, I tell you what, it's good I'm here, man. I brought the anointing of God with me. You should carry some of that with you. You know what? I know God's here today because I brought him with me. I've been before the Lord. I've prayed. I've fasted. I've been before God seeking his face. And I'm coming with the anointing of God. I'm coming to hear his voice. I'm coming with you should carry that. But I'm talking about, there's another mind that could be of an overconfidence of this smiting and all these things. Man, you just have hindered the anointing upon yourself. The real freedom that you could have within yourself. Brethren, I don't find the real ecstasy from liberation in myself. I find it in others. You see what I'm saying? I find thrill when somebody else receives the knowledge. I find a thrill when somebody else gets a revelation. I find a thrill when somebody else gets delivered. I find a thrill when somebody else is set free. Amen? That should move our hearts. We should be desiring. You know, a natural daddy, when his little boy comes and says, ABC, daddy, I learned my ABCs today. Man, there should be a thrill and you think, oh, son, that's so good. Man, you know, son, that is awesome, man. Man, you've done well. Let's go get a milkshake. You know, something to encourage him. But how about in the gospel? It should be the same way. When somebody gets a touch from heaven or a revelation, oh, I learned that 40 years ago. There was a young man out here the other day. Brother Randy said, I think took him over and showed him how to do a brake job. Man, you got to think, this guy's been incarcerated, you know, for 10 years. He goes over and learns to do a brake job. He's over in front of the brethren with a little bit of excitement. Man, I learned how to do brakes on my first brake job. There was another guy there. He goes, oh, man, I learned that 15 years ago. You know? Well, what kind of spirit's that? You know, why couldn't you say, hey, man, congratulations, brother. Man, that's good. Let me see how much dirt you got under your fingernails. You know? Help them, Lord. Amen. Should be on me. Let's go to verse 8 a minute. I won't keep you too long this morning. Anybody feel good in here? I appreciate y'all. I love you. Brethren come out laboring yesterday. Got some things taking place. Old brother Larry crawled around under my bus. Old Whitlow got in on working them wheel wells out and stuff, and it's a nasty job. You get in there wire brushing and getting rust out, and you say, let's stay with the word. I am talking about the manifestation of the word right now. But he got in there wire brushing to get that rust out of them wheel wells and undercoating and things, and there was other brethren that helped. But he one that sticks out in my mind because he stayed with it. He kept coming back for more and more. We'll see if Larry's got that in him. Larry's got to come back. He looked pretty nasty yesterday. Did you let him home? He come out there, man, been wire wheeling underneath that bus. There's a lot of it under there, 40 foot by 8 foot wide, all the way down that thing. And Brother Jonathan working on the belly pans took them out from underneath and getting them prepped out. And I appreciate all the labors yesterday, men coming out and taking care of the grounds and mowing and working on some of these things, get some of these projects behind us. Amen. It's all for the work and the glory of God. Amen. 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 Let's go on to verse 8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning. Boy, could we ever minister a message on that? I remember one time I was sitting in Brother Pike's presence with his son. And he said, you know, talking to his son, he said, you know, that day star is going to break in Brother Rob's heart. You know, and you think, well, what does that mean? Amen. But whatever it means, I want it. Amen. I know what it means. But, you know, we got to get some lights on sometimes. You heard the old expression, you know, lights are on, nobody home. But we got to have somebody home with it. Amen. Praise God. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. And thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Amen. I can't think of any greater reward than that. Oh, but I want a house. I want a car. I want a home. I want this, man. Let the glory of the Lord be thy reward. Amen. It'll move mountains. It'll move you into so many awesome things. Amen. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. And thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here am I. If thou take away from thy midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and the speaking vanity. Why do we have to have an if in there? Why? If. Or a little writing said, if is the biggest word in the Bible. Well, let's go back to the first part of 9. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here am I. That's what I desire. That's what I want. Amen. But we'll accuse him. We'll blame him. We'll make him a respecter of person. Well, he's blessing Brother Bo. He's blessing Brother Randy. He's doing this. But we never look at the if. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth the finger, and speaking vanity. You know who's guilty of that? Every one of us. Is there anybody else in here besides me and Ian? Yeah, we're all guilty, brother. You know, it's not about what he's doing for the other. What is he doing for me? I have full control of the heavens. I have the ability to bind him up in heaven, the Lord thy God. I could bind his blessings. I could bind his mercy. I could bind his strength. I could bind his love. I could bind everything from me, not from you. But I could bind it from me by having these kind of things in my heart. Amen. We never speak of another man's weakness to draw some kind of strength. If you speak of a man's weakness for you could be better, more spiritual, more godly, you see, then you're a politician. The politicians are running on office by making the other one bad instead of making what they can do. If they would go and say, look, I could do this for your nation. I could do this for your country. I could help you with this. I've got this ability. I've got this skill. I've got this knowledge. I've got this understanding. I've got the ability to pull these men together. This man right here will be over the defense. This man over here will be over the foreign policy. This man over here will be this man. These men are skilled. They're studied. They're strength. They know their business. They will work with me. They will help me. I can't do this on my own, but let's take this thing and let's turn it around. But they're going on the power. She's no good. She's filthy. She's wicked. And they're right. But we can't build a strength to prove ourselves to be something by making somebody else bad. That's politics. But it happens in the brotherhood. It happens in a church. Well, this guy ain't right. This guy does this. This guy does that. This guy this. This guy that. What does that make you better? I tell people from the sacred desk, I said, okay, you get a report, Brother Rob Coons goes to hell. Is that going to make you go to heaven? Come on. If I fail God, if I fall on my face, you know, and you get a report, does it make the words that are coming out of my mouth of null and void, does it make the word of God a lie? Does it make it not real? There was people got shipwrecked in faith when Brother Pike went off the scene. Many people. You know, well, if he goes off the scene, man, that's the rapture of the church. Well, it didn't happen. There was some told me that. I know the Lord showed me some things. Man, he shared it with me, showed me Brother Pike's departure. Man, I tried to speak it. Man, I got beat up. I got beat up bad. So I just shut my mouth. You shut your mouth, Brother Rob, really? Yeah. It's not easy. This is not your time to say amen, girl. Just sit there. You're beautiful. And if thou draw out... Did I read 9? Let me read 9. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here am I. Boy, I like that. Here am I. I'm in need, Lord. Here am I. Oh, God, I have a need. Here am I. God, I have a desire. Here I am. I can fulfill all desires. I can give you everything that pertaineth unto life. I could move mountains for you. Amen. Boy, I like to hear that. Here am I. Here am I. Maybe he's wanting to hear that too. Hey, I need a laborer in the vineyard. Here am I. I need somebody to share my love with my neighbor. Here am I, Lord God. I need somebody to get on a vision and get something in burning in their spirit to move by my will. You say, here am I, Lord God. Oh, but Lord, I'll help you tomorrow. Oh, I got this going on today. Oh, I got to fulfill this today, Lord. You know, when you put him on second seat, when you put him on second, man, let me tell you, he's not going to be there for you. You know why? Because you sowed that. Oh, but he's a good God and he loves me just the way that I am. You're in the wrong church. He can't stand you. Oh, come on, you can't say that, Brother Rob. He repented that he made man, is what he says in his Bible. And he said, if this is what I do to my only begotten son, how much more so am I going to do to the ungodly and the sinner and the wicked? And we sit before him like something, thinking that we're something when we're nothing. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. Amen. Man, isn't that awesome? See, this is a key right here to success in the gospel of Christ. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt rise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the past to dwell in. What do we do when we see a breach? We go through it and rob. We see somebody in trouble, we take advantage. We see somebody in despair and we move in. Hey, I'll buy their car. I can get a good deal on it because they're down right now. Oh, I could take their house and I could fill my bones fat. You see, that's carnality. That's the way of the shark, the way of the wicked, the way of man. But we're supposed to feel their infirmities. See, there's something wrong with us. We see somebody fail in corporate and we use them as a stepping stone. Instead of helping them back up, we use them to go to the next rung up and put our foot on their head and go up with a smile on our face, because that's what we do in corporate smut. That's what we do as business people and businessmen. We're always looking because we're smart and we're skilled and we're ready to move and take advantage. I knew a man that was a multi-millionaire. Probably if he was still alive, David would probably be numbered with the billionaires. And all he did was glean off of the fall and the carnage. A business would go down, he was there, man, had the cash to pick it up and buy it. Buying failed radio stations all around the world. That's what his main thing was, buying radio stations. And then he'd get management in there and make them successful. But that's what he would do. He was watching for the failure of others to build upon. Amen. We don't do that as sons of God. We don't do that as Christians. Amen. The man was worth multiplied millions of dollars and give his wife a $50 a week allowance for groceries. And she shopped at Goodwill. Praise God. Sounds like I had some wisdom, doesn't it? Amen. Yeah, praise God. Drove a 15-year-old Lincoln Town Car. Had cow pookie on his boots from walking around on his farm. Jeans were faded and wore out, and he's worth multiplied millions of dollars. One thing I can say, I preached about the man, he didn't walk like a wealthy man. He didn't act like a wealthy man. He'd sit down and drink coffee with the poorest man in town and fellowship him. Some good things about the man. But he was always watching. See, we don't do that, brethren. Oh, but I got business smarts. I got business wisdom. I'm going to glean. They're going to lose it anyway. Don't be part of it, because you'll bring a curse on whatever it is. Say, oh, I don't believe that. Well, you'll walk in it and you'll believe me. I like this. It says, they shall be of thee, shall build the old waste places. Brother Evans ministered a message and he said, some are consumers, some are gardeners. He said a consumer is one, man, they got these old waste pay, they just trash it, throw it out, do away with it, discard it, go buy something else. And he said, some are gardeners. The difference is a gardener will look at a plant and say, man, this thing needs trimmed, it needs watered, it needs fertilizer, it needs more sun. And they nourish the sick plant. But when you're a consumer, everything's disposable. Just get rid of it. But we're a restorer. I was telling Brother Larry, boy, this is wisdom now. He comes out from under the bus, black face, rust in his hair, man, filthy, dirty. I said, you know what this has to do with, don't you? Was that you I was talking with? Maybe it was one of the other brethren. But I said, this has to do with restoration, restoring. You see something, you know, there's some rust and things down on the bottom of this thing and it needs attention. Oh, let's send it to the junkyard. Or we could restore it and repair it. Boy, I knew you'd bring a revelation out of that, brother. Boy, it's all about, you know what, it don't matter what you think it's about, but there's a revelation in all things. We take something that is on its way to corruption and redeem it and restore it. That has to do with the transfiguration, the change, the equipping, the restoring, the rebuilding. You see, if you take an old car and you take it out of the junkyard, out of the corruption, out of the mire, and you take and restore, that's what we do with men. Amen. Some of you come in bad shape. You got corrosion down in your spirit that's eating away from your bones and destroying you on the inside. It's the same thing as a vehicle. It comes in, we can look at it and say, it ain't worth it. It ain't worth messing with. Let's just put it out. Let's cast it out. Let's just do away with it. You know, but we could take and say, no, let's fix it. Let's repair it. Let's restore it. Amen? Amen. And we could take something that is an outcast, a rejected thing, and we could bring it up into the glory. This is what we do, brethren. This is what we do. And we have to see the revelation in the mind of all things of what we do. A man that lives right here in this town, Brother Pike, said he needed to get born again, and he packed up and left. Left Little Bethlehem. It offended him. Oh, he was a song leader, and he sang songs for him and done things for him and this and that, but he couldn't take the rebuke. Brother Pike said, you need to get born again. His son came to me and was talking to me, And he said, well, one of the things that my dad has fault with Brother Pike is, he said there is revelation in every single blade of grass. And he said, that's just foolishness. And I said, no, it's not. I said, there is. I said, the Bible said all flesh is as grass. Now, let me ask you this. Is your flesh significant? Yes. You sure cater to it a lot if it ain't. And there's trillions upon trillions of cells in this body. Trillions of cells. And every cell has a significance because it makes up your covering of your natural covering of your flesh. So I would say that the brother was right when he said every single blade of grass has a significance. And he would breathe things out on a daily basis about different things happening in the midst amongst the brethren, in every event, in everything, in every person, in every personality, down to the color of the shirt that they had on, to the color of the shoes, to the way they fixed their hair, the kind of hat or the insignia on their shirt had a significance. And you say, wow. But then yet, men would walk away and not realizing what manner of man that they truly are. Read verse 12 one more time. It says, and they that shall be of these shall build the old waste places. They shall raise up the foundations of many generations. Maybe we need to raise up the foundations of Little Bethlehem again. Maybe we need to raise up the foundations of Brother William Branham again. Maybe we need to raise up the foundations of Brother Wesley again. Maybe we need to raise the foundations up of Brother Luther again and Brother Martin again. Maybe we better start raising up the foundations of some of these people again. But what we do is we walk on them and we put them down for we can go to the ball games. We put them down for we can have our television programs, and we just walk on them and mock them. Oh, they're old-fashioned. Oh, they're self-righteous. Oh, they're too religious. We're restorers. We're repairers. It says here, repairers of the breach. The repair of the breach. A breach, if you have a fortified wall around your city, and there's a breach in the wall, means somebody got over it there or threw it there. The Bible said they built the walls back. They had a sword in one hand, and they had a trowel in the other hand. And they were resetting the wall back with mortar while they're fighting with the other hand. See, we need a little bit of that in us. We need to start being repairer of the breach. We got breaches in the wall in our homes, in our houses, in our lives. And these things are breaking through and coming through. And it seems like the only one concerned sometimes, the preacher. We got our mind off on our businesses and our careers and those kind of things. And God will blow on it. He had a man that couldn't get away from hunting. And Brother Pike rebuked him. He said, sir, he told somebody, he said, if you could just get away from opening day, you'd be all right. But he couldn't get away. The man goes and gets busted up real bad in an automobile wreck, and he has him roll him out in the woods in a wheelchair, hard-headed and stubborn as a mule. Amen? And now he's totally lost out with God. You can't even find God in the brother's presence anymore. He allows his house to be defied and defiled. His home's defiled, got his children stripped off like wild animals and beasts, and they're smoking in his presence, smoking in his home, smoking around his house. Where's God at? Where's the holiness of the Lord at? Where's the repairer of the breach? And this was an elder of Brother George's, a man esteemed to be one of the greatest among them, and look how far he's fallen away. Went and picked up one of them, the brother's daughters, a virtuous little girl, about 15 years old, and picks her up and takes her over and drops her off in a camping spot, in a camping trailer, with a whoremongering, filthy, perverted beast called his son. And takes this little girl from the camp and takes her over there and says, here you go. Go ahead. Here's some spoils for you. It's a wonder God didn't snap his neck like we think of Eli. And you say, brother, you're speaking about a man of God. You're going to tell me a man of God would do that? What kind of fool are you? We need to understand the revelation of the Lord. And when you depart from the revelation of God and you depart from holiness, you got nothing to say. Brethren, we've just failed. We've failed the Lord most miserably. We got to hold up a standard. We got to hold up the banner. We got to hold up this thing called the revelation of Jesus Christ with holiness and godliness. We can't depart holiness. Without holiness, we've got nothing. He said, present your body and your soul and your spirit. Holy, blameless. That's the reasonable thing before the Lord. But we sit under these bunch of reprobate, perverted preachers. Well, God just looks on the heart. Holiness is just a work of the heart. Biggest lie from the devil that ever was. Oh, they're taking twists in scriptures, yes. They're taking a little bit of a truth and perverting it. The same thing that Satan done in Eve in the garden. He took a truth and converted it and perverted it into a lie. A restorer of the past to dwell in. Amen. Praise God. Is that in your spirit? Isaiah 61:4 says, and they shall build the old waste. They shall raise up the former desolations. And they shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations. Oh, but we'll use it to make a stepping stone. We'll use it to get a little more. You know how many people have come over and tried to glean off the labors of the brotherhood? Come over and wanted to take over this place called Bethlehem? But Ichabod has been put over the door and the Spirit of God has departed. And if anybody had any common sense and reason, they wouldn't nothing to do with the concrete and the lands there once the Spirit of God has departed. We wasn't building a place of such. He was building brethren and building men and making those things. His heart wasn't in the concrete and foundation, was in the hearts of men. And he see men laboring and giving of their lives to build a place. Yes, we reverenced it. It was the Lord's place and we honored it. We groomed it and took care of it and painted it and polished and kept the place upright because it was the place of God. But I'm going to tell you something. Nobody's at the brook in Carmel right now. It was the place of God to give life to a prophet. It was a place and a time. But see, God moved away from there. Nobody's today over at the widow's house there being made, their provisions being made. But it was the move of God at a time. And yes, Bethlehem was one of the most powerful moves of this generation right there. But the Spirit of God has departed that place. And many of the people. You say, well, aren't we a remnant of that? I say, most definitely with all gladness and all joy. I'm so thankful for a place called Little Bethlehem. I'm so thankful for the brotherhood that I walked with there. I'm so thankful for the fellowship that I found there. I'm so thankful for the strength and the word and the anointing and the doctrine that came to me there. But brethren, we got to keep our eyes upon the Lord. We got to keep our mind upon God. We can't go back and just speaking about the former things. We got to restore them and repair them and bring them forth. Amen. It's in our hearts. It's in our lives. It's in our walk. And we're not going to give in to these other doctrines and these other beggarly elements of flesh and the things of the world. We're going to hold the standards. Come on, saints of God. This should be something in your spirit. It should be something burning down within in your heart and your bosom, as something as a restorer, as a repairer. And we want to press in. There's some things we can't let go, brethren. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from the doing thy pleasures on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways. Oh God, can we take that one out? Not doing thy own ways, nor finding thy own pleasures, nor speaking thy own words. Well, there goes my life. We just moved a big part of Brother Rob. That's why he's supposed to be dead. That's why he's supposed to be crucified every day. Oh, we can keep the Sabbath. Well, we got that part down. Honorable and shalt honor him. What is our motives? What are our motives? Is it to really bring honor to him or honor to ourselves? Is it that we're looking for a special place in some kind of a ministry that we could receive honor and recognition to ourselves? I tell you, that's a dangerous place to be. We all do it. I mean, you can sit here in your self-righteousness and think that you're not guilty of that. We're all guilty of that. We all want prestige. We all want honor. We all want recognition. We all want self-acclaim. We all want to be the one. We want to be the leader. We want to be the man. We want to be the boss. We want to be the richest. We want to be the wealthiest. We want to be the smartest. We want to be the best. Now, there should be something in our spirit that presses us for the mark of that perfect man, Christ Jesus. But we got to have the foundational things right first. We start building upon our own foundation. We start building upon our own thing, and we're going to come down and we're going to fall. I'm telling you, I got people sitting right now in my presence that their little lives, their marriages, their businesses, their careers are so screaming out loud right now in my presence that they're not even hearing the exhortation of God to them. And what's it going to take? Is it going to take disaster? You know, Brother Chuck was a man, and I don't think he'll mind me using him, but he could be on his feet up here worshiping the Lord in his feet, but he didn't want to honor God. He had his own self and his own desires, his own wants to seek out first. Oh, I got my youth, I got my education, I got my knowledge, but God had to strike him down. Praise God for a wheelchair if you make it into the kingdom of God. Praise God for being crippled and making it into the kingdom. Praise God for suffering in the flesh to make it into the kingdom. He would be the first to tell you, I'd rather be in a wheelchair and have the Spirit of God and make it into the kingdom of have my legs back, have my walking. There's people that are blind who would say the same thing. I'll just stay blind like this for I could see beyond the veil, for I could make it into the kingdom of God. But what is it going to take? What kind of shakeup is it going to take? We got to be careful of fellowship. We got to be careful what we walk with. We got to be careful what we give heed to and what we hear. We got to be careful. Sometimes we find that we mock people. And we mock people and think we're smarter and we make they're better when they're making an effort and giving up their time and their substance and their life to help a brotherhood and help a kingdom. That's what they do. If you're looking for just the ease of Zion and you're just looking for the easy pass and the easy road and you don't want to get under the travail and the labors, you'll perish. You need to get under the burden and the labors of a brotherhood. We're trying to do something for God while you sit back and mock us and think that you're better or more spiritual. But at least we're making an effort trying to do something to win a soul. If we can win one soul into the kingdom, one soul, one, all the heavens, all the angels in heaven rejoice. You say we should be doing more. I say, yea and amen. But you'll look at me and say we should be doing more. What's the accomplishments? What's going on? Why aren't you here helping the accomplishments? Been talking about knocking a wall out. Well, why ain't we done it yet? Well, I'm having troubles getting a hold of you. You got your own world, your own things, your own lives, your own substance, your own things, and running after your own. And you say, oh me. Yeah, you should. It should be oh me. You say, well, Brother Rob, you get it going and we'll do it. What makes you think God ain't want you to get it going? Maybe he wants you to take some leadership. Maybe he wants you to show yourself faithful. Oh, Brother Rob, here I am. What do you want me to do? I would have liked you to have been here yesterday and the day before showing some real willingness. And the day before and the day before and the day before and the day before. And then you say, well, dude, then you have a vision and you know exactly what to do. Yes, I got to give you a vision when you come around, when you got 5 minutes. I want to be that one, but then at the same time, you need to examine your heart. Well, I'm going to make myself faithful, be around the brotherhood. Just make sure that you're fulfilling your also obligation. When you're doing something around a brotherhood and doing something for God, it don't mean that you're going to put a burden on your employer. You say, well, he won't let me have no time off. Well, you sure find it when it's for the flesh. You sure find it for all of your desires and all of your wishes and all of your wants. You sure got a vacation spirit in your heart all the time, but you can't find time for God. All I can say is you need to repent. You say it's all about what we do for God. Oh, praise God. Did you come to that revelation right now? Let's give the Lord a hand. It's the only thing that is about God. Amen. I don't want a ministry. I want to fulfill His. Amen. Verse 13, one more time. We're almost done. We get down to 14. We could close with the Baptists this morning. Praise God for the Baptists. At least they got a doctrine. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasures on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him,
Not doing thy own ways? Not finding thy own pleasures? Nor speaking thy own words? Help me, Jesus. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Well, I tell you, I like verse 14. We should have just started there this morning. Why couldn't we just start with 14? And why did they put that word if in the previous verse? You know, why? Why does it say if? Why does that have to be there? You see, you want God to bless you no matter what you do. But you've lost the principles of God. The Bible said God is not mocked. What you sow is what you reap. You sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. Amen. You don't realize that you have control of the heavens. You have control of the blessings of God. And all he asks is if you give a penny, he'll add back to you many. And I'm not talking finances. I'm talking of your substance, of your time, of your life, of your thoughts. But he just happens to be a sidekick for you. He just happens to be there when you feel like talking to him. You know? Did you do that when you got married, brother, sister? Did you make yourself available to the little gal? Did you make yourself available to the young man? Was you there for him when they needed? Was you always kept your phone hot and on? Yes, you did. You know that. But what about God? Why can't you be that way with the Lord? Why can't you fall in love with Him? Why can't you let Him be the husband? Why can't you let Him be your God? Why can't you let Him be the preeminent one? Why can't you let Him be the desire of your heart and all of your desire? Why? Because you got your own will, your own mind, and your own thoughts. If I started calling out some of your thoughts this morning, it'd be embarrassing to you. If I expose some of your thoughts, and you say, well, why don't you do that? I don't think you want me to. But if I expose some thoughts that are happening right now in this congregation, it would be embarrassing. And I'm thinking, you know, with the way we started out, the exhortations and things that are going, but you know, I can't get broke through some of it. It's darkness, it's bondage, it's chains, it's shackles. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Some of you just got to get around you a little bit. And you'll find some of the most ungodly professions coming out of your mouth. And it should be a confession, but it's a profession. Speaking it as an absolute. Brother, there is no absolute in my life except Him. And there's nothing that's going to set my course except Him. And when you got other things set in your course and you feel like you're in some kind of a bondage and some kind of a thing, that means that you are guilty, that you have not built the breach and your wall's been breached. You see, a man that can't control his own spirit, his wall's been breached. When you can't control your spirit, there is a breach in your wall. You understand that? And when there's a breach in the wall, that means you're even in worse shape because every unclean devil could get through that breach. We need to gird up some hedge of protection around us. We need to gird up our loins. And there's a way to go about it. Right, man, we read the principles right down through here. Oh, we love verse 14. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and I'll feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Oh, we love that. Oh, we love the prophets today to prophesy smooth things over us. Amen. I was talking with Brother Charles back there. I said, brother, we've been to that place. We despise prophecy when the Bible commands us not to. We despise it. And it says not to despise prophecy, but I despise it. You say, Brother Rob, you're in error. No, I'm not in error. I despise the false prophets and the false prophecies and the tickling of the ears and saying the smooth things and the good things and the easy things. That's what they do for their self-admiration, for their self-fame, for their self-glory. Oh, look at me, I'm a prophet of God. He says that when he's over in India and over there in Africa, the same Western theology of the prophets of the United States of America. And he said they're going into these villages and these people got nothing. They're in poverty. They have nothing. And the prophets are saying the same things, grabbing them by the head. Oh, God's opening up the floodgates of heaven on you. Praise God. He's going to fill you with the heritage of Jacob and bless you. Is there anything wrong with that? Absolutely not. But it isn't the spoken prophetic utterances of God. Come out of your darkness, amen. Get out of your poverty state of mind and worship the Lord God with all of your heart, amen. And he'll make that chicken lay two eggs a day instead of one, and he'll bless you. He'll keep your goat from being diseased. He'll keep your goat from dying of starvation. He'll raise up your children. He'll keep your drinking water clean and keep the bugs out of it and keep the things out of it, because he's a God that moves for the people in poverty. Amen. They need to hear a prophetic word of God. Amen. And not some tickling of the ears. And the American people like their ears tickled. They want to hear smooth things and good things. And just tell me God loves me just the way that I am. Tell me that nobody's perfect and everybody's fallen short of the glory of God. Just tell me that everybody sins every day. Just tell me that I'm a sinner shaping in iniquity. That's what you was. But I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old man is passed away. All things have become new. I become one to receive the heritage of Jacob, walking in the mountains and walking in the high places, amen, because I'm a son of God, amen, and been born again. Somebody give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Amen. Praise God. I trust that this morning that you could receive something from the Word of God this morning, something that will change your life, something that will set you free, something that will deliver you, something that will fill you with expectation and hope. Amen. That's what we want. That's our desires. Amen. I want to be where God wants me. I want to be led by the Spirit of God. I want to be numbered with the sons of God because I'm led by the Spirit of God. Oh, we come to this doctrine. Oh, I'm a son of God. Hallelujah. I'm born of God. I can't sin. Glory be to Jesus. But I say, if you're the son of God and you're born of God and you cannot sin, that means that you can't die. And that means that you're led by His Spirit. If you're not following the Spirit of God and you're following your will, you're following your ministry, following your desires, following your wishes, following your wants, you're lost. I'm sorry to say it. You're just lost. That's all it is. You're just simply lost. But you can't ever say, God help me. You know, I don't want to be lost. I want to be spirit led, Brother John. I want to be sensitive to the still small voice of God. I want to follow the leading of the Lord. I want to hear His voice. I want to hear Him speak. Amen. That's what we all desire this morning. Let's sing a song or two. Amen. As we get ready to close the service this morning. Thank you for coming to the house of God this morning. Is this yours?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
Create in me a clean heart.
My desire, Lord God. I want to be pure and clean and holy before you, Lord God.
And renew a right spirit within me.
Help me, Jesus. Oh, Lord, I come to you in weakness looking for strength. Oh, God, I bring my failures before you, asking for forgiveness, Lord God. Oh, build the breaches up, Lord God. Oh, God, hedge me up and protect me, Lord God, with thy spirit. Oh, fill my heart with expectation. An ecstasy of the Holy Ghost, Lord God. Oh, Lord, let me desire you and you alone. Let my heart cry out to you, Lord God. Let me praise you, my Lord and my God and my King. Teach me to worship. Teach me to praise you, Lord God. Oh, Lord, I want that pure, clean heart before you. Thank you, Lord God.
Holy Spirit from me.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord God.
Pour unto me the joy of thy salvation.
Hallelujah.
And renew a right spirit within me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let him minister to your heart.
Create in me a clean heart.
I love you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with your power, Lord God. Oh, Father, let our shadows touch the ungodly and the lost. Let it bring them to repentance, Lord God. Anoint us with your word. Anoint us with your will, Lord God. Fill our hearts, Almighty God. Let us be numbered with the soul winners this morning, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you have a thankful heart this morning? Are you full of gratitude for what he's done for you?
From thy presence, O Lord.
Oh, Maria Hasatara Matisi. Sri Silia Silio Koriosi. Emali Makolia Tesindrede Makiri Mako. Thank you, Lord God. I love you, Jesus. I praise your name, Lord God. I worship you, Lord God. Oh, you're my Lord and my God, my King. Hallelujah. I praise you, Jesus. Praise your holy name. Oh, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Oh, Lord, I want to be filled with your power.
Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation.
Worship the Lord just for a moment longer. We're not going to tarry much longer. Thank you, Jesus. Let the Lord have his way as we close the service this morning. Let him minister to your heart. Amen. Ask him to take over your will. The only way you can do that is you surrender it to him and submit it to him. Don't lose your vision. The Bible said, without a vision, the people perish. If you lose your vision, you will perish. You can't exclude yourself from the Word of God. You can't make the Word apply to me and everybody else and not to yourself. Don't walk in the blindness of your own intellectual man. Be careful. Be cautious. I hope some of you can feel the urgency of the exhortation to be cautious and to be careful. Because I'm telling you, I know what the aftermath of this is. Brother John, I've been in the hospitals. I've been visiting the afflicted. Amen. Oh, yes. You might find yourself come in by suffering. And I rejoice in the Lord for your suffering, if that's what it takes. But my desire is for the obedience of God to be in your heart. Amen. Sometimes you got to get knocked down, struck down. I've seen God move in divorces. I've seen God move in calamities of car wrecks. I've seen God move in bankruptcy, failures of business, failures of health. I've seen him move in cancer. I've seen him move in strokes. I've seen him move in heart attacks. Amen. And if that's what it takes to wake you and to get your attention, then so be it. Amen. We rejoice in the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Let's serve him with all of our heart. Let's walk in the obedience of God. Let's walk in the will and the pleasures of him. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I thank you all for the time this morning. Amen. I've delivered my heart. Done the best I know to do. And I pray that I can stand before him innocently, Brother Randy, and say that, you know, I cried out. I seen evil coming to the city, Lord God, and I cried out. My purpose of crying out isn't for your blood won't be on my hands. It's because I love people. I love the brethren. And I cry out because I have a concern for souls. Not for my own expectancy or for my own, you know, for I won't have blood on my hands. That's not the motivation. If you're only motivated by not having blood on your head or only motivated to serve God because you don't want to go to hell, you're going to go to hell anyway, I promise you. Man, you need to love the Lord with all your heart. And there should be something you want to worship Him, not because you don't want to go to hell. You want to worship Him because He's the object of worship. And He's the Lord thy God. He is the King of all kings and the Lord of lords. And He gives us strength and gives us health and gives us praise and glory and honor. And He lifts us up and He gives to us. That's why we want to worship Him. It's because we love Him. Amen. We don't want to worship Him out of force. We shouldn't have to be exhorted by the music ministry or by the preacher to come in and praise God. There should be something in our hearts. Say, Lord God, I just want to praise your name. I want to just lift you up above all names, above all others, Lord God. I just want to shout hallelujah to you, Lord God, because you're my God and my King and my Lord. Amen. You saved my soul. You took me out of the clutches of the devil. You pulled me out of the mire of the pigsty, of the puke and the vomit. And you pulled me out and you cleansed me and you washed me and you set me free. You put my name down in the book of life. You're worthy of all praise and worthy of all honor and all glory. Hallelujah. There should be something in your heart that just wants to magnify the Lord God. Amen. Amen. They can show excitement for the pizza. They can show excitement for the burgers and the shakes. They can show excitement for the new car. They can show excitement for the new job, but not for my God and my Lord. You can't even find it in your heart to praise His name. You can't even find it in your heart to say, thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. You sit there in your puffed up, religious, dry puke when you should have something in your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you for setting me free. Thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for delivering me from the clutches of the bondage of death. Amen. It should be in your heart. There should be something that just wants to praise Him. Amen. Brother Rob, you want us to be charismatic. I just want you to fall in love with Jesus. Amen. That's all I want. I want you to love Him with all your heart. I want to see you love Him more than you love your business. More than you love yourself. More than you love your own desires. I just want to see you fall in love with Him and let Him be the preeminent one for one moment of your life. One time that seed could strike the heart. One time that you can remove yourself out of the way enough that He could fill you with the Spirit and anoint you with the Holy Ghost. One time, amen. Let's worship Him, saints. We're closing the service. Don't leave dry. Don't leave lacking. Don't leave hopeless. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Know Him by the name.
Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord spoke it. Amen. I receive. Can somebody say, I receive, Lord. I receive, Lord. I receive, Lord. I receive, Lord. Oh God, fill me with an expectant heart. Thank you, Jesus.
Shadows you will find.
I'm going to get Brother Paul Stone, Senior, Junior, whatever he is. God bless you.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.